size of the, like,
Okay, we left off the previous year. We were trying to understand the significance of Rashi's comment in the Testament days. And the Gemara was talking about a person who hands off a board to a Chevishet HaKotan that he's going to be Chayav. So Rashi has some cryptic comment, which the Ramban learns in the Rashi to mean that Rashi is taking a stand on a grandiose topic about board. And Rashi is basically saying that the regular rules of Chelos of Shia, the Sof of the Ones, being chayav applied to bor as well. The original sug of chos of shuv sovinus was about shomrim and bar mitzvah daf mem beis, and the Ramban wants us to know that it applies to bor as well, and the regular rules, nothing different than all than kol tera kula. What led the Ramban to spend 500 lines to try to convince us of the truth of that statement? Because he was well aware, and he makes mention of the shittas balamor, that the balamor disagreed, the balamor held. Now, one of the unique kulas of bor is that boar is not subject to the regular rules of Chalas Rishon Sofvionis. It's not all that different than some of the other interesting kulas that boar has. Boar is Patron Kaleman, boar is Patron Amsalim Magdoshin. So this is one of the big leniencies, one of the big exceptions to the regular rules of Mazik that boar is subject to. One of the world led the Baal HaMor to say this, so that famous Gemara on Daf Nun Beis, the Gemara says that a person who digs a pit and then he covers over the pit, and he covers it in a way that's not quite going to support those very, very big mammoth, humongous camels that weigh 16 times the amount of oxen, as we proved beyond the shadow of a doubt a couple of days ago. But they will be able to hold the weight of a little baby, tiny shore. The problem is that even though the person was, so to speak, a peshel gabi gemalim, at the end of the day, I heard people say the termites. That's what they call it. The termites eating away at the boar, the kisi of the boar, and that's called an ones. And the Gemara says, "Hey, you potter." The Gemara says, "Okay, you potter. You a peshaya for the gemalim. So what? Since you want a peshaya for the shvarim, you're good to go." So the Baal HaMor made a whole fuss out of that Gemara. The Baal HaMor says, "You see, from that Gemara, that the rule of chelos v'shivs of yonis doesn't apply to boar." So the Ramban says that it's not true. That can't be the pshat in the Gemara, because that would fly in the face of Rashi and the Testament base. So what is the pshat in the Gemara? If the Baal HaMor's pshat is not correct, what is the correct pshat? So that's open question for today. So we have this Gemara on Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara tells us basically, Lo yamrinon migo davi pesheya legemolim. There's a pshia for shvarim, right? You don't say that. And the question is, why don't you say that? That's the open question for today. So we have one possibility, that's the Baal HaMor, but that's so far we've rejected that possibility. Baal HaMor's pshat is because boar is a boar shiny, because of psalim hamukdashin, kalim, etc. Fine. So we're looking for another six possible pshatim, putting aside the Baal HaMor. So Baal HaMor does make reference to a second pshat. He refers to it as the Yesh Omrim, as some phantom pshat floating around in some Rishonim, to give another possibility to explain away that Gemara. The Ramban's not going to buy into this one either, but it's a little bit of a different twist than the Baal HaMor's first approach. So whereas the first approach of the Baal HaMor was focusing on the very unique characteristics of boar, the very, very different unique characteristics of boar, things that are unheard of in other areas of Mazik. It is unheard of for Mazik to be Potter and Kalim, and it is unheard of for other Mazik to be Potter and Psalm Magdashin. There is another characteristic that boar has that actually shares with a series of other mazikin, and that's the idea that what the Gemara calls in the beginning of the sixth parak of Bava Kama, "Hatera miyata bishmirason." There are some scenarios that the Torah does hold me responsible for. It's mamoni shehizik, but the Torah says that a throwback to the first mission Bava Kama, shmiraso alecha. The reason why I'm chayav to pay is because I didn't do a shmira. And now the word shmir is a very, very relative phrase. How do you define whether something is a sufficient shmira, something is an inefficient shmira? So the answer to that question is not necessarily the same in all mazikin. I think what develops the yisoid in the beginning of Perek HaKrenis, even the sixth parak, called the Dvarim Shatar Miyata Bishmirasan. When the Torah says you don't have to watch so super duper carefully. What are the Dvarim Shatar Shmir Miyata Bishmirasan? The Gemara spells them out. Abba Dvarim, and Afnan Hamid Beis, Tan Abba Dvarim, Miyotem, Miyotem, Shemrasan, Eilin, Bor V'eish, Shein V'regel. These four mazikin are different, and the Torah almost explicitly tells us that you don't have to watch it all that well. How do you know you don't have to watch them all that well? So you have to look for psukim in each one. So when it comes to bor, the Torah does give us a pasuk. What's the indication? How is the Torah implying to us that you don't have to be the I greatest, most unbelievable super duper duper shmir in the world? What does the Torah describe? Lo yichasenu. The Torah says the guy's a total pesheya. Guy's totally reckless and careless. He's digging manholes and not covering it all. It gives off the impression that if you covered it a little bit, that's okay. Now again, a little bit means significant. You can't just say, well, I have this tremendous manhole and I'm going to just throw a piece of, aluminum foil on top of it. That's not even a kisui. That's called kisei shlo karoi. That's worthless. But I put on something. Again, it wasn't the greatest. It wasn't the highest level of shmirah. But it was good enough to fulfill the pasuk of the Torah of Yechasenu. So a teresh mi'ata b'shmirasen. So comes the Balamor and quotes some Mishnah and say that maybe the reason why we don't apply tchilas b'shir self of the onus in the case of bor is not unique to bor per se because of the almost the quirks that bor is patrad kalim, bor is patrad sulam mekdoshin. But maybe the reason why we almost look the other way about tchilas b'shir vis-a-vis bor is this is part of the general package, part of the general picture of a Torah miyata b'shmirasan. You see that the Torah is not so machmer in bor. You see the Torah doesn't care that much about bor, the same way the Torah doesn't care that much about eish and shein v'regel. So maybe this is a new klal, suggests the Balamor, that maybe any and every time we have a situation where this is Balamor b'shem, eish oimrim, that maybe any and every time where the Torah is miyata Bishmirasan, so then the regular rules of Tchilas Mashiach Sof Yonis as developed in Bamitsiyah Daf Membeis, as Paskin Mahalocha in Bamitsiyah Membeis, may be fall by the wayside. Now, of course, this is going to be a much easier theory to test or to disprove, because we don't have to only look for Bor to disprove this or to confirm this theory. We can go to any of which, and of the other three. If we'll find any Gemara anywhere in Shas that talks about Shein, Regel, Eish, and invokes the rules of Tchilas Mashiach Sof of the Onus, then we know that the Balamor's second theory is incorrect. That will be a disproof of the Eish Omrim. So the first Mahalach of the Balamor himself, the one that he truly accepts, the Halacha, that Bor is unique, the only way to disprove him is you have to show me in Hilchus Bor that he's wrong. So the Ramban thought that he had arrived from a Rashi, from the Tess. But according to the second Mahalach of the Balamor, the Shem Yesh Omrim, you don't have to run to Bor to disprove him, just prove it from a Shein Varegel. So the Balamor himself disproves that theory. The Balamor himself didn't think that the second opinion was correct. And he shows you two Gemaras. Now, everyone read the Balamor? The Balamor makes very, very quick reference to those almost cryptic references, assuming that you know all about the Kaaba. If you didn't finish 119 blot, why are you reading the Balamor for? So he's assuming that everybody knows what it says in all the sugyas. He doesn't even tell you where they are. He just, makes real, the half-baked reference to them. It's like the typical reading of the Be'agura. The typical Be'agura reads something like, Ayin Sham V'chulei V'yeh Shomim, Ayin Sham V'chenikar. So, if you know what all the middle pieces are, then you're good to go. And that's more elaborate. If you look at the Ramashav, you don't even have that. You just have Ayin Vitzorachiyun Sham. That's the end of the story. Okay. So the Balamor at least quotes a few words, so he gave us a clue, gives a hint as to what he's talking about. So the Balamor is fundamentally referencing two Gemaras, one in the second Perek of Bava Kamma, one later on in the fifth Perek of Bava Kamma, if I'm not mistaken. One of them is talking about regular, one of them is talking about chain. The sugya about Regel is talking about the following. It's a sugya in Ketzer. I don't think, did I put those Gemaras on the Memkamas? No, I just put the Balamor on. Did anyone look up those Gemaras? Did anyone have any idea what those Gemaras were? Okay, I ain't shum, so you don't have to listen to the Balamor. So the Gemara is in the second Berakh of the Kama, where the Mishnah is actually talking about if I have a goat or I have a dog, and the dog's on top of the roof, and it jumps off the roof and it breaks something. So that in and of itself is what? What kind of a mazik is that? The fact that an animal is jumping off a roof? So you have to figure out, is it normal to jump or not? So some animals are normal to jump, some are not normal to jump. So the Gemara goes to the whole cheshbon, is it normal for a dog to jump, normal for a goat to jump? So the Gemara is assuming that yes, that that's within the realm of normalcy. If it's within the realm of normalcy, what do we call that now? So it's not carried anymore, now it's regular. It's not stepping on something, that doesn't really matter. Hizika derechilucha, remember those are Gemara's at the beginning of the second parak. Anyone heard about Tsroros? Anyone, a little chazar from yesterday, right? So there's Begufa Behemoth, then the Tsroros. So an animal, just checking guys, so an animal jumps off the roof, so that's called a regel, that's a regular mazik, subject to all the chumas and kools of regular mazik. Right? Chayav Nezik Shalom Yad, they would part of the Shisarab, whatever the regular rules are. So the Gemara has a whole discussion in the second parak in the Gemara about a dog or a goat that was on the roof, positioned in a way to cause nezek. The owner is aware of that, as he should be aware of that, and he's mamish, you know, kneeling in place to give that big jump. And then what happens? The dog or the goat gets what? Gets a little klutzy, and it trips up its own feet, and it comes tumbling down off the side of the roof, and in the process of doing so, causes damage. Now, a dog falling off a roof is probably an onus. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a dog falling off a roof? Right? Can you imagine? I mean, it depends how big the dog is, like Clifford, right? Clifford's on top of a roof. I would not want to be on the bottom of the big red dog that falls on top of you, okay? So that's a big onus. Very unlikely that's going to happen. So the Gemara is willing to call that onus, but the Gemara still nails the person to be chayiv. You know why? Because the Gemara says, we can hit you for what? For tchilas to b'pshia v'sefer v'yayinah. So the Gemara has a whole discussion again. We're not even sure tchilas b'pshia v'sefer v'yayinah is chayav. That depends on b'metzia daf ben beis. But al hatzad, that is true. So the Gemara in daf chav beis, the Gemara calls that scenario tchilas b'pshia v'sefer v'yayinah. Observes the Balamor, that mazik is regel. Hey, wait a second. Regel in daf nun vav is on the list of abad dvar m'shetar b'yitab b'shmirasan. What conclusion must we draw about say Zemin Fando, we conclude from here unequivocally that even though it's regal and even though the Torah doesn't have very, very high standards for you, it doesn't matter, the book stops here, Tchilas B'Shiva Sofiyonis is going to be chayev. So this is disproof of the Yesham. Then the Balamor continues on to another Gemara, but the Gemara later on is addressing the issue of shame. The Gemara talks about the beginning of the sixth parak about an animal walks into somebody else's property and starts munching away, starts eating away on the stuff. That's not a very good thing. That sounds like we're very, very much into shame. But what if an animal gets loose? I didn't lock up the animal properly. I wasn't Shema Karoy. The animal gets loose and it walks, it spatzias into the Adam's field, the other guy's field, and it's about positioned already to start to munch away, and then you won't believe what happened. Anyone notice what happened? What? The animal goes into labor right then and there. So, mamish, unbelievable, the crisis comes, and you know, the animal's the contractions, you know, the contractions are coming fast, and all of a sudden, you get the impression that the water breaks, or whatever the equivalent happens in the world of the animals, and the male, everything gets all over the place, and all the entire vegetable patch, give me a good thing, that what grows in a good vegetable patch?
Vegetables.
Cabbage patch, okay? So, cabbage, right? A cabbage patch dolls, okay? So you have a... You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, yeah, the dolls.
Yeah, okay, good. So you have a cabbage, right? You have this, I'm not even going to begin to draw this out. You have an animal spaziering in, all ready to munch away in this delicious, yummy cabbage, and then in the middle of everything, it starts to give birth, and ruins, destroys the cabbage. Now, between you and me, what are the odds that an animal is going to go into labor on top of somebody else's cabbage? Would you put that as something that the owner has to worry about? Very unlikely, unless the animal's overdue. Okay, maybe the animal's 2 weeks overdue. Okay, that's another story. But let's say, you know, it's not yet expecting. The animal doesn't think that, you know, the owner asked the animal before, do you feel like you're going to have a baby very soon? And he shrugged, didn't think that's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, Baruch Habu gives birth right smack in the middle of the guy's cabbages. That's a pretty bitty big onus. The Gemara says, sorry, Charlie, we're going to hit you for being chayav anyway. Why? You let your animal out. The animal is about to start to eat, and then it starts to go into labor. So it's pshia legabe shein, and it's sefer b'yayinah. So even though the einus took a nezek, the nezek took about through the vehicle, came about through the vehicle of einus, but since it was preceded by tchilas of pshia, that poses a problem. That poses a mechayev. Correct the Balamor, even though that's hater mita b'shmirasan, a person is not all that responsible for the nezek of shein. You can do a very, very minuscule shmira, and that's sufficient. And afal pichein, tchilas b'shia v'sofiyot is chayev, zetmin fando, two for two, against the Yeshayim. So the Balamor quoted this Pshat. We're going to keep it on the board for our purposes, but we don't want to stick too many Rishonim into this. The last person we want to commit to this is the Ramban. There's no way the Ramban's going to buy this. Not in a dream. The Ramban's going to buy into this Shita. It seems to be contradicted by two Gemaras. You have to really, really work to defend these Yeshayim. So we're not going to go down this route. So basically, there is, of course, a common denominator between the two Pshatim. One the Balamor accepts, the one he rejects. And that is, it's basically highlighting that the reason why Tchilas B'Shia V'sofei Yonis doesn't apply is because of some din of Hilchas Bor. Either the literally, very, very limited scope of Bor in contrast to everything else, that's the Balamor's Pshat, or Bor is part of that picture, part of that package of the Dal Dvar, but the bottom line is, This is less to do with the rule of chas v'shivus of bionis and much more to do with the kulas and the quirks and the leniencies that apply to l'chus bo, again, either as an individual or as part of the package of the Dalet Devar. But now we move on to a whole series of other answers that appear in Rishonim. So we're going to keep them on the list, but they're really almost a different category of answer. And that's to go closer to the words Tchilasa B'Shiva V'Sofa B'Yonet. And even though we do accept this idea, Tchilasa B'Shiva, we really do believe V'Sofa B'Yonet is Chayav. And we believe it's true not only in Shmir, it's true in Mazik, and it's true in Shein, V'Regel, and Bor, it's true across the board. But in order to really be Tchilasa B'Shiva V'Sofa B'Yonet, you have to really truly be a Pshia. Means we have to assume that there's a real bona fide pshia that is taking place. If there's a svelte in the pshia, the non-Yiddish speaking people among us, if there's some chisaron for the non-Hebrew speaking, if there's a deficiency in the pshia, then memela, there's going to be a problem to invoke this principle. So you want to invoke this klal gadol, klal v'shir sof v'yoynis, being chayav. So comes the third pshat, it comes the fourth pshat, you're going to say, yes, that principle is absolutely true. And yes, that principle is 100% true. It applies to Bor, Shein, it applies to everything and everybody. The only thing is that if you learn the sugya Tchilasa B'Shiya, you'll realize that in order to be a Tchilasa B'Shiya, this is going to sound like a very profound statement, but in order to qualify as a Tchilasa B'Shiya, it has to be a Tchilasa B'Shiya. Very good. Okay? So come a group of Rishonim and start to water down a little bit the B'Shiya that's taking place here. Now, we learned the sugya the other day. We had this imagery of a guy who knows that we got camels. He's in the middle of Saudi Arabia. He's got camels walking all over the place. And he's sitting there, and goes down the street. He digs a pit. He measures exactly the degree of kisu of the pit. And he comes to the realization, this is not going to stop those camels. And the camels are, what do camels do? They don't stampede. Animals stampede, right? The animals, the camels are walking up and down. And we're trying to figure out, is there a pshia for these gemolim or not? So if you just read the Gemara Kipshut on Daf Nundeis, you'd walk away with the conclusion that ein lecha pshia gedolim izo. This is mamash a description of pshia. The Gemara said, you're pshia legabi the gemolim, and we're being done whether you're chai for the oines klape the shvarim. So I would have thought this is classic material for Tchilas Mashiach Sofa B'Yonis. That's what the Balamor thought. That's what the Balamor in his first shot thought. That's what he thought in his second shot. That's where he had to come up with Numa Halchem, why Tchilas Mashiach doesn't apply to Chizbor for a variety of reasons. But other Rishonim take a step back and say, wait a second, maybe we had the wrong imagery that was going on. We drew this picture. We closed our eyes and we looked at this picture in our minds of a guy in the middle of Saudi Arabia. The camels are coming and stampeding, and whatever they're doing, jumping all over the bar, and they're breaking through the bar. And the only thing that happened was, the camels happened not to show up that day. And what happened? What attacked the boar? What do we say? The termites. Means they flew amitaychai. That means that crazy, we shouldn't have done this, happened, and the cover of the boar fell through. So that was the image that we had. It was a classic pshia, it was a classic oinus, and we can't figure out why in the world doesn't chilas v'shiv sof yonis apply. So come a group of rishonim and say, we got it wrong, it's not true. The pshia is not as bad a pshia as you thought it was. It was not as literal pshia as you thought it was. So there was a Rashba. So the Rashba quoted a Ravid that said that, no, it's not true. The Gemara are not as common. They're not running around town like we thought they are. They're also the Prokim. They're coming up once in a while. These camels are coming around. Now again, if I would dig a pit in the middle of Washington Heights, a lot of funny things running around Washington Heights, but there are no camels running around Washington Heights. So I don't have to be chayshish that there are gemolim here. But if I'm in a place where there are gemolim around, says the Ravid, that's called a concern. That's, we're going to call it almost like a little bit of a pshia. Remember the Gemara called it migo davi pshia legabe gemolim? Says the Ravid, but our pidin in terms of being Mashiach, whether we met the criteria of Tchilas and Pshia, we didn't quite meet it, says the Ravid. This is not the Pshia that Chazal was describing but Metziah Daf Mem Beis. In the case of the Treif of the Urbani, that was a Mamash Azab Pshia. The guy's so negligent. Wow, that guy's Meshuggah. What's he leaving the money in a place where maybe it's going to be, the fire's going to come, it's going to burn down the wooden structure. And then he looked out at the last minute, it was stolen, it wasn't burned. So that's the Pilpul in the Gemara where the Tchilas and Pshia of Yonis Chayev a Potter. But over here, says the Ravid, Nothing doing, nothing like that. The person wasn't such a pesheya. It was the gemara of also the prakim. They're not coming all the time. They're not here on mass. And therefore, the reason why it falls short of being chalas b'shivt of the chayev, it says the Ravid, because at the end of the day, pshat number three, there's no pshia. I mean, there's a little bit of pshia, but not enough of pshia to be labeled a pshia to be mechayev you, even if the subsequent nechzik happens. The oinus. So it's gevaldik pshat. You can't argue with that, with the lumdus of the Ravid. The Ravid is 100% right, assuming that he depicted the case properly. What's the problem with the Ravid's pshat? What's the Rashba doesn't like the Ravid's pshat? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara uses two different terms. In one place the Gemara says shchichin, and in one place the Gemara says asin the prokim. So the Rashba says, if Chazal used two different words to describe two different phenomena, it's very hard to understand that it really means the same thing. According to the Ravid, when the Gemara said the shchichin gemalim, it didn't really mean shchichin gemalim, man. Yeah, once in a blue moon there's a gomel. So the Ravid Rashba says, what do you mean once in a blue moon there's a gomel? The Gemara meant once in a blue moon there's a gomel. The Gemara would have said, once in a blue moon there's a gomel. So the Gemara says that they're round, they're floating, they're all over the place. It's very, very hard to believe that it's not the classic Pshia. And if so, if it's the classic Pshia, then we're back to square one. So why is Chilash Pshia Pshia here and it's not kicking? So we have three possible Pshatim, three possible defenses as to what happened to on Daf Nun Beis. Why isn't the person Chayev? The original case of Daf Nun Beis where the guy dug a pit, he covers the pit, and Chazal say it's not quite ready to support Gemalim. And then, lo and behold, the gomel doesn't even fall in, the shore falls in. So the Gemara says, Potok. It says, Migo, you don't say Migo David Pshil Agabi Gemalim. So all the Rishayim are bothered. Why not? What happened to Treif Durbini? What happened to Bavitsi and Dafman Beis? So we had one Mahalik was the Balamor, that don't ask any kashas, boars, the Yetzim Akar. Boars exist a cost of, don't ask any kashas, nothing to discuss. Boar is different. Why? Why is boar different? Boar is Potter and Kalim and Boar is Potter and Philip Mekdoshim. And don't, you can't extrapolate from Boar to any other area in Halacha. So, Allah, Hilchas, Mazik, and Shemir, Hakko, Kolotar, Kula is working with one standard and Boar is in its own world. So the Ramban had a lot of issues with that. That's what we spoke about the other day. That the Ramban says, like Mechatei, so what's the source for that? Just because there's a Ptur on Kalim, there's a Ptur on Philip Mekdoshim. That's Exerce Kosov. That's Exerce Kosov. There is no Klal that Hatorah, Hikil al Boar. The Balamon makes it sound like Boar is its own world. Don't ask any kashas from Boar to anywhere else. It's not true.
What did we end up giving the answer for the Ramban? How do you understand the Gemara of the Kamanim Beis?
We haven't gotten it yet. We only have three possibilities. We had another four left.
Oh, we didn't say how.
No, we didn't get it. We're searching. We are searching earnestly. So far, we're getting nowhere. So far, we did is fall into the Boar three times. We haven't found anything that's going to tell me anything about how the Ramban is going to learn Shan the Gemara. So we have the Balamor's pshat the Ramban rejects. He says that there's no mockery in the Gemara to say that Boar is its own world. Dech Agav, we did have this idea way, way, way back. Remember the first sugya, back, way, way, way back, that Boar is in its own world. Who remembers? Who was the Rishon that said Boar is in its own world? The Rash said Lagabe what? Who remembers what the Rash said? Lagabe and Enshim Adin, unlike Taisus. Taisus said that the sugya of Enshim Adin, my mom and this is Boar, it's all the same thing. And the Rash said, no, Boar is taka different. But that's a little bit different than Balamor saying. Zia were almost saying that Boar is a chiddush l'chumra. It means Meikra din, the Rashba argued that you should never really be chayav in Boar. If not for the pasuk chumash, I never would have figured out on my own that Boar is chayav. Why? What's so chiddush thing about Boar? Such a bizarre thing, Boar. There's no real logical reason to be chayav. Why? Who remembers why? It's not dark lech lehazik. It's not even mine. I don't even own it. It's Boar b'shis harabim, Rabbi Shmuel, Asad HaKosov. There's so many reasons that are against me. There's so many reasons leading me to believe that I shouldn't be chayav in Boar. So again, we Torah said it, we're makabel, but in terms of looking at Boar through a little bit of different light, so the Rashba already told us that back in the days. But the Balamor is saying something different here in the Daf days. The Balamor is saying that we're looking at Boar through such a different light, Lakula. We're saying that, look at these bizarre kulas. Two on Kalim. Sure, the a thing. Who ever heard of such a thing? Shor is chayav in Kalim, and Eish is chayav in Kalim, everyone's chayav in Kalim. All of a sudden, Bachabu, the Torah says, Chamor v'le Kalim, a boar is potter in Kalim. And then the Gemara, on top of that, said, and by the way, because a boar is potter in Kalim, so that's also why a boar is potter on what? On what? On Psura Mugdashin. So the Baal Moor says, you see a trend, a theme is developing, that boar is very, very cow. So the Ramban said, there's no theme, there's no trend, there's garnished. It's just a posik here, a posik there, a posik there. That's it. The Rabban said, there is no underlying approach that the Torah is giving me that bor is just more kal and don't apply regular rules to bor. Says the Rabban, bor is the same as everything else. There's a quirk here and a quirk there and a quirk there. And between you and me, what did the Gemara say back on Daf Hey? All the mazikin have what? Have a little bit of quirks, right? Aish has a, what's the quirk of Aish? I don't mean a quirk in a bad way, you know what I mean? What's the chiddush? Talmud is both there. And Karen has a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Chatzinet. Shein Varegel has a chiddush. Now what? Your partner is Rab. Everything has chiddushim. A lot of chiddushim. That's what we do all day. We're in chiddush. A lot of avakams, a lot of chiddushim. So the fact that here and there an Av Mazik has a chiddush, that doesn't indicate some grandiose theory that it's more kal than anything else. So the bottom line is, the Baal HaMor was a tremendous chiddush. No pun intended. The Baal HaMor's Yisrael was very, very chiddush. The Baal HaMor's second shot that he quotes B'Shem Yesh Omrim, that it's not so much bor as bor per se, but it's part of the Dalad Dvarim Shemiyata Terbish Mirasan that are not subject to Chilas Yosef Yehonis. The Baal HaMor himself rejected that. The Baal HaMor himself proved from multiple Gemaras throughout the Masechta that that's not, doesn't seem to be correct. So we didn't do too well with the first, the Baal HaMor, the Hilik of Baal HaMor still presented his shot, but the Ramban had serious reservations about it. The second shot the Baal HaMor himself ultimately rejected. Now the Raivis shot, so the Rashba is telling us it's very, it's true in theory, but to put that into the Gemara is a very, very big jump, says the Rashba, because the Gemara doesn't sound like the Gemara becoming once in a blue moon. It sounds like we're in the middle of, what's the capital of Saudi Arabia? Riyadh, no? Okay? Isn't that? What's the capital of Saudi Arabia? Riyadh? Okay. Sounds like we're in the middle of Riyadh and the camels are coming and running all over the place. That's what it sounds like. Doesn't sound like just a camel, once in a blue moon, a camel is showing up. So we're still searching for a Pshat and Rishayim that we're going to be able to use to understand the Shittas Ramban, to try to understand the Ramban back in Daftes, which is really our sugya. Ramban is Medayik from Rashi and Daftes, that Chilas of Mashiach Sefer Yonis does apply to Bor. It's like anything else, the same as the regular rules of Treif for the Urbani of Metziah Membeis. But we're still searching according to this Ramban, B'das Rashi. Remember we said the other day, the Rishonim didn't even learn this Pshat Rashi, but within the Ramban's version of Rashi, so then what do you do with the Gemara Membeis? The Gemara is still stuck. What's going on? How come you don't say Yechai about Tchilas Shiv Sef Yonis? So the beginning of the third Pshat was almost creating a new phenomenon for us, namely that we're going to chisel away at the Pshia. So other Rishonim go down that same route, but chisel away at the Pshia in different ways. Anyone saw, what's another way to water down the Pshia a little bit? It's not as bad, you know. We had that image of a guy who digs a hole, knows full well, there are camels running all over the street, and he knows, he measured and he weighed, and he knows for a fact the camel's going to come and destroy it. That's the Pshia that we thought. So, who saw a fourth Pshia in Rishonim? Before the Miri. Miri has a fifth Pshia. Shulta Kibarim quotes. He quotes from the Riaz. There are a few Riazes. the Riaz that he's quoting is the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, but it's the second Rabbeinu Yeshaya. There are two Rabbeinu Yeshayas. There was an older one and a younger one. This is Rabbeinu Yeshaya Acharon Zal. Okay? So the Riaz, as quoted by Shulta Kibarim, says, yes, the Kasha, he says, Loshen Riaz, in Loki Kulua Gemolim, Elit Liya Mitoichel. So the camels didn't get to it, the termites got to it. The Novel is Seicha Shor Mace Potter. So Frek the Shulta Kibarim, the Afar P. Shagamolim Mitzuyim Sham Tomid. Who's he almost like he can see behind the kasha. Who is he trying to, you know, push away? He's like almost saying, like, don't tell me a story that the Gemolim aren't here. Sha'afa Pisha Pesheya Eitar HaGemolim on his way to Lashvarim. Why? Listen to this one. So who Shaya Yeshe Vishemish Layava Gemolim Akisi Abor? What did Rabbeinu Yeshaya just say? What did Riaz just add? He just added a new piece of information we didn't know about. What? He takes the guy, and rather than having a guy being this mamish, this manul dikipesheya, who's digging holes and having camels fall in and breaking their necks, he's such a nice guy. He's sitting there warning all the camels, don't let your camels fall into the bar. He's such a nice fellow. And then what happens? He has bad luck. What's his bad luck? Who does he not warn not to come to the attack? What? The termites, you can't see the termites. He doesn't want the termites not to come. The termites come, he's clear, and all of a sudden the bar, the Kisya bar collapses, and next thing you know is the shore falls in and breaks its neck. So what do you want from the guy? He's a Pesheya. How have I all the Peshim in the world should be like him? He's such a Peshe, such a nice fellow. So the Riyad says, the Kibbeim says, that's the stub of the answer to the Pshat of the Gemara. The reason why you don't say Tchilas Mashiach Sefer B'Yenis is because there wasn't really a Pshia, there wasn't a sufficient Pshia for the Din of Tchilas Mashiach Sefer B'Yenis to kick in. So says the Riyaz, this is almost Ke'en with Pshat. Who on the board is this closest to? Conceptually, logically. He changed the facts of the ground, but conceptually, it's Kimat the Raisin. It means basically what the Riyaz is saying is that there's Ein Pshia. So unlike for the reason that the Ravid says, because the Gemalim are Einim Shechichim, the Gemalim aren't running around all over the place like we thought. Over here, he has the fellow, you know, a Yeshev Letzad Habor. So basically, what's the difficulty with this Pshat? What hits us about this Pshat? Api Alochi is 100% right. I have no questions, no qualms whatsoever. Lu Yitzui, the guy sitting by the board, and this is what's happening, 100%. Then, mask him that he's Potter. What's the problem? Ikechos b'sefer. The Gemara doesn't say a word about that. If anything, what does the Gemara call him? What does the Gemara call the guy? The Gemara calls him Pesheya. So the Ravid had to tell you that he's not really a Pesheya, he's a little bit Pesheya, not really a Pesheya, doesn't meet the criteria of Pesheya, for Trey, for Dor, B'nei, for Tchas, B'shes, Avianis, to be Chayev. So the same way the Ravid had to, you know, maneuver around that word Pesheya in the Gemara, that doesn't really mean it. So the Riyaz has to come up with the same problem, has to address the same problem, and the Riyaz has to add a whole factor that doesn't, according to the Riyaz, that is the most important factor in the Sugya. That's the most important piece of information, and it's not present in the Sugya. So, again, it's not our job to disagree with the Nokimta for Rishon and the Pshat and the Gemara, but Sof Dover, you're going to find other Rishon, we're going to have to give other answers. There's no way we're going to end the Sugya and say, these are the two answers, there's no Pshi and call it a day. The Rishon themselves have a lot of problems with this, because the Gemara doesn't sound this way. If anything, the Gemara does call it a Pshia. So the two answers are similar to one another, not identical. They're similar because they chiseled the way out. There's Ein Pshia, at least the fullest degree of Pshia. So we have four answers in Rishonim so far to the same problem. Conceptually, we've broken down the answers into two different camps. The first group of answers are Baal Bor number 1, Baal Bor number 2 is addressing something unique about Bor, either something mamish unique or something unique about Bor as part of the Arba Dvarim Torah Mi'at HaBishmir HaSon. Teres number 3 and number 4 in Rishonim is not addressing Bor B'chol. This is not a Bor Sugya. This is a Baravan or Sugya, how do you measure Pshia for the purposes of Tchilas V'Shiv Sefer B'Yenis? So the Ravid and the Riyad, each one in their own way, is telling you that the Pshia level, the degree of Pshia that you thought was present when you asked the Kasha, is not present, either because of reason A or because of reason B. But again, they are both ways addressing the same phenomena. We're chiseling away at the Pshia. Is there another way conceptually to answer this question? We're going to let Kirsch answer this one, because this is the next answer that you said before. The Mihri, good, very good, excellent, okay, good answer. So maybe one could argue as follows. Maybe one could argue that we could chisel away at Chilas B'Shiv Sefer B'Yenis in another way. Well, there are four words on this board. Chilasai, B'Pshia, B'Seifai, B'Yenis. So if these four words are present, then that spells trouble, and that spells the Chiyav Tashlumin. So we saw Rishonim who chisel away at the Pshia. What's another approach? Chisel away at the Onus and say, no. This case doesn't meet the criteria to be labeled as Chilas Pshia Sefer B'Yenis Chayev. Why? Because it's lacking in the what? Now say it with a straight face. It's lacking in the Onus. Now, if I said that to you just as a, you know, in a vacuum, something is lacking in Onus. It's not an Onus enough. What would you think I meant? You would probably think that I meant, oh, it's not really an onus, it's really more of a what? More of a pshia, which is, of course, would be more of a reason to say that you're chayav. So that would probably be very silly for me to try to sell this to you. So what am I about to tell you, Rabbi Say? Oh, so I'm about to tell you that chilas of pshia, the self of the onus, is not always chayav. Now again, we know this is machlokes the Gemara. It was two lishonos in Rav Yosef back in Daf Mem Beis, so Mamitzia Daf Mem Beis. So we saw this already the other day. So we know that the din itself is not agreed upon by everybody. But the Ma'aseh Gemara concludes the Hilchasa, the Nimn of the Gemara. The final word of the Gemara is that the Hilchasa Tchilas V'Shiva Sefer B'Yenis Chayev. So comes the Meiri on Daf Mem Beis and says, "Wait a second." He says, "Every Yenis is Chayev. Maybe there are different dagas of Yenis. There are some onuses that, yes, it's true, they're onus. We're not calling you a pshe. We're not saying that the pshe is what happened. We can see that the cause of death, when they write up the cause of death, it's out, it's an onus. But there are dargas. Not all onusim are created equal. Sometimes you have an onus that's oilal hadas, that the person could have some degree anticipated. It's within the realm of normal possibility. And again, it's not something that you have to worry about. It's not something that you're held accountable for. You're not chayv tashlumin for it. It's not. There is no chayv tashlumin for it. It's oinus. It's not pshia. It's oinus. But it's an oinus that's oilal hadas. It's an oinus that one could have potentially anticipated. And then there's a different ballgame, legamre. What's the second ballgame, legamre? It's crazy. What are the odds that all of a sudden today, I don't know, they're predicting how much snow? What's supposed to snow today? 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches, I don't know, whatever it is. All of a sudden, mamash out of nowhere, a blizzard of 6 feet of snow comes falling down in the middle of the night tonight. That such a thing should happen. That's an einus, ein matzik klal klal. So comes the Erie and says that some onsen are expectable, potentially expected, and it's an oinus, but you can't hide behind oinus if you were pesher b'tchila. And other oinusim are not even in the ballpark to discuss. Says the Meiri quotes from those who have in the page in the tenth of the Rambam Kaimis. The Meiri quotes in B'vakam Daf Nun Beis, Ugdoli Provence Yetirtu. The Gedolim from Provence. Where's Provence? Where the Meiri came from. Okay, Southern France. Okay, good. The Gedolim Provence Tirtu. Shalom Nema Tchilasa B'vshia V'Sefer B'Einis Chayef. Ela ba'ines ha-motzui v'sharoik tzas lahalos alev. Something that the guy should have in theory thought maybe can that it could be it's going to happen. That's the stuff of Yonis Chayev. So give me some good examples. Give me some real illustrations of Tchilas Yosef Yonis. That's El Adas. He's able to knock off three examples already. Treifet Urbani, right? In the case of Treifet Urbani. A guy leaves money in this wooden kind of a... We're not sure what it was, a Treifet Urbani, but some kind of something. So he leaves it in his little heart, this little something or other. And it's possible that what may happen, it's unlikely, but it's possible that the God may find it. It's possible. It could be. There's a Mashun de Gadan, a crazy God running around in the forest looking for money stashed away the Treifet Urbani. It's possible. It's not absolutely crazy. Give me another example of Tchal Shios of Yenis, of an Eretz HaMotzui. The dog, give me the dog, right? The dog in the Chabez, right? What did the Gemara say? So, the Mishnah said, the animal, the dog, and the goat that jump off the top of the roof, says so that's a tremendous pshia. What are you leaving your dog on top of the roof for? You know he's going to get a little ants, he's going to jump. That's a regel. And then, lo and behold, the dog trips over his own feet, and he ends up falling down head first, and he causes damage. It's a chenoinus. Yeah, it's true. It's oinus. When you look at it in a vacuum, it's an oinus. But it's not an oinus that you couldn't have anticipated. It's possible. You have to make a study. How often do dogs trip over their own feet and fall off the top of roofs? It happens once in a blue moon. So therefore, that's considered to be enough an oinus that has to be oilal hadas. But, give me another one. What's the third one? But the animal, right, the animal went ahead and all of a sudden gives birth, bachaboo, in the middle of the cabbage patch or something. It's the middle of the cabbage patch. So that's a type of oinus that's potentially oilal hadas. So it's El Adas. Those are things you have to cheshbon, those are things you have to reckon with. But when you're dealing with something which is so crazy, so wild, so nuts, as what? Termites. Termites. Who would have ever thought that termites are going to come and do you in? It's so unlikely. That's El Adas. Again, I can't measure this. I have absolutely no way to critically measure the degree of onus, what's called an onus. I defer to the Helge Chachmei Provence on this one. But I could suffice it to say that they're probably Rishonim who are not going to be as kind as myself to defer. Probably some Rishonim are going to say, come on. Animals giving birth in cabbage, right? Cabbage patch, come on. Unlikely, right? Animals falling over the... unlikely. Where's the line? Where's the line of demarcation? Very, very hard to understand. But Achoponim, the Meiri's Pshat, is suggested. And we're going to categorize this almost like a Mahalach in of itself. It's an oines she'enai olal hadas. Okay, so here is the chisar, not in the pshia, but it's the chisar in the shame oness. So we have five working pshatim in the sugya, of which none of them we're 100% comfortable with. We still have hesitation about all these pshatim.
According to the Meiri, approach to it. How do you understand the second half of the Gemara? We're saying that the Chayr Shote, or is the middle of the night and he's walking.
So
after
it's
after you not had Edel El Adar.
No. What happens was the onus was that a regular one, that a healthy one fell in. He was Peshay Lagabe the middle of the night, and now a healthy one fell in the middle of the daytime. So that's the onus, the attack of Potter. Right? Nofel Pikech B'yom is Potter. So the Meir said,
that's
clear.
Such a rare onus.
Have you ever studied the psychology of falling oxen into pits?
No, but we just.
No,
we
have Yamunis Rechamim.
We've been talking about this all year. I'm saying.
I never would have talked this way. Maybe a little more, no. So if I say, yeah. I don't know, we got to make a study of that. Okay. Who's going to Google that for us? Yeah, Avi, what do you think?
Not about that.
No.
Is this like a synonym for onus versus not onus?
Yeah, something like that. You know, you want to plug it into Rambans and Tezim from previous things. Yeah, okay. That's okay. Okay, everybody say, so we have five pshatim, and again, we're not quite convinced that we really have a handle on this again. So now we move into, running out of room on this side, we're going to have to move over to the side of the board. And we're going to introduce conceptually a whole nother type of solution to the problem. Not just technically different, but conceptually very, very different. We're not going to chisel away at Bor, we're not going to chisel away at the Pshia, we're not going to chisel away at the Ones, we're going to chisel away at the relationship. This is all about relationships right now, okay? What do I mean by that? The relationship of what and what? Philosophy of Shia v'Seif v'Yonis is Chayav. What does that line almost teaching me? That if you would have asked me, do I think Chilasu Shia is Chayav? Before I read any Gemara, I would just give you a case. I'd say animals are walking in to eat, then they give birth in the middle. A dog about to jump and then trips on its own feet. Would you say Chayav? I would say, as we say by Shehu Sham, namely, Bidan on what happened. Bidan on what happened at the moment. What is causing the Nezek? If what's ultimately the source, the reason for the Nezek is an Oines, so be it. So you're Potter. Oines is Potter. If my animal is Mazik, Oines and Potter. The Aish is Mazik, Oines and Potter. The boy is Mazik, Oines and Potter. So, L'chora, I would be Dan on exactly what happened. So it's a very, very strange Gemara in Mavitzia Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara says that the Shoyma leaves the stuff in the tray for the Urbani, and Givalt, he was Pishaya, what is that Pishia? Didn't he know that they could easily burn down? It's a fire hazard, it's a disaster. The fire department's coming and screaming him for leaving cash in the middle of a tray for the Urbani, easily flammable material. What's the Shoyma's response? When the Mafia comes screaming at him, what, you were saying Pishaya, you violate all the fire codes. What's the Shoyma's correct response? But they didn't burn down, it was stolen. So that I was Peshaya. What does that do with anything? So the Chor is really a Pel enough Nembeis. The whole institution, the whole principle of Chilas Shir Tavien is that we pass in Aloch Chayev is really a Pel of Golem, with Chilu Yad Sofer. Like, make a basic. Like, what, conceptually, why should it be Chayev for? It's really, really a big Pel. So what do you have to say? You have to say some kind of razzle-dazzle, something along the lines of, what? What mahalach do you have to almost kind of say? That you can no longer look in a vacuum at the ones. You have to look at this almost like part of a progression. That there has to be some kind of a real connection between the pshia and the ones. I can't make you chayav just for the ones itself, because l'mayis the ones is potter. So the fact that we're making you chayav, that is a result of the factors of the pshia, and we refuse, Allah refuses to look at the pshia as one entity and the onus as a separate entity. We have to view it as a continuum. You have to view it as some kind of a relationship that the pshia is kicking into place as the engine driving, in a sense, the onus. Now, why that's so, how that's so, I'm not sure, but that it's so, I'm pretty confident with. Because otherwise, the whole idea of close to pshia really doesn't make any sense. Like, why don't we just stop pshia, whatever pshia was, true but irrelevant. That's what one day in the Gemara says. So we paskin that it's chayav, obviously are looking at the relationship. If we can somehow throw a dagger into that relationship, we can somehow sever that relationship between the pshia and the yoynes, so then that would result in what halacha no longer being true, to no longer be chayav. So we have to come up with some way to sever that relationship. That's the goal here. This is like the... It's an anti, it's a disconnect. Right? Why a disconnect? We're trying to break the relationship between the pshia and the onus. That's the goal in front of us. And that's going to save the day. That's going to explain why So different Rishonim go down the same route, albeit in very, very different ways, but they're basically in the same territory. So the first Mahalach in this sixth approach is taken by the, who I know? That's the seventh one. You're always one more. Always thinking ahead, that's good. The Rav Av Beis Din. Now, sometimes he's called the Ravid because he was the Rav Av Beis Din, and those are Rosh Tevis, the Ravid. There were how many Ravids were there? There were three Ravids. Okay? So, this, the one that the Rishonim usually called the Rav Av Beis Din was usually the second Ravid, who happened to be the father in law of the third Ravid. So, it was all in the same Mishpacha. Right? Their last name was all Ravid. Everyone had the same basic name. So, the Rav Av Beis Din, or we'll just call him the Ravid just to make it easier, is quoted by a group of Rishonim. The Baal HaMor quotes him, the Rashba quotes him, everybody quotes this Ravid, that offers another approach, not just this approach over here, we're not sure who gave this one, but comes the Rav Av Beis Din Flesh Ravid and says the following, you say this. I'll tell you exactly what the source of lack of relationship is. It's very, very simple. Which of these is not like the other? We have so many cases of Tchilas of Shiva Sofa Bionis. Let's give them. One is Trefa D'Urbani, one is Kelev Shekofatz, one is what? One is the Behema Sheitila, the Meleda. What's the common denominator between all of these? It's a key word. Any brisketer, what's the key word? Chafza. What do I mean by that? My pshia was committed against chefza A, and what chefza was ultimately got lost? Chefza A. What's my pshia in the trade for the urbani? What's my pshia against? I need a chefza. The cash, the zuzi, the money. That's what I'm the shamer on. So my pshia was vis-a-vis the cash, and the oinus is vis-a-vis the cash. Kelev shekofatz. What's my pshia vis-a-vis? What's the kelev is the vehicle to cause the damage. The pshia is addressing the davar hanizok. Whatever's on the bottom of the dog, right? Whatever the dog lands on. Okay, so the pshia was that the dog's going to jump onto the kelim and break them. And the oinus was the dog what? The dog fell and broke them. So it's the same chefta. In the case of the Behema Sheitila, what was the object of my pshia? Was the cabbage patch. And what lemaisa happened? The oinus happened to the what? To the cabbage patch. Says the Ravid, that's Chilas B'Shiv, Sef B'Yayin Esayev. If I was Pesheya vis-a-vis this Chefza, so then even though the ultimate source of Nezah came about to an Oynes, the Pesheya is Mesiaches to that Chefza, and it's Chilas Pesheya in this Chefza. And that's exactly where the days in Mabakama parts ways with the entire Sugya of Chilas B'Shiv, Sef B'Yayin Es. How's it part ways? How's it part ways, says the Rav Av Beis Din. When I dug a hole, and I gave a gevalka kisoy that the shvarim aren't going to fall in. No shore in its right mind that they're going to fall into this pit. It's covered up, enough shore material. What's going to fall in? A camel's going to fall in. Now what happened in the end? Little did I know. How did the shore fall in? Because the termites ate it. It's going to be tough when onus happened. So I was peshe legabe chefza A, and the onus akar legabe chefza B. Says the Rav Av Beis Din, al zeh lo ne'emar tchilas b'shiva sefer b'yoinis. That's not called tchilas b'shiva sefer b'yoinis. There is no connection, living or dead, between the pshia and the oinis, and therefore, welcome to Rav Av Beis Din, that the only time yechayev is the oso chayfetz shepasha, and that's the difference. Therein lies the difference between the days in Bava Kama and all the other three other scenarios of Tchilas Shiva Sefer B'yoinis. That's the answer of Rav Av Beis Din. Now you can ask me a quick question. What's the
chesed for the poshea and for the onis in that in our case in the biz.
The pshia was vis-a-vis the gemalim because I didn't cover up the cover that's sufficiently strong to protect from gemalim falling in. But at the end of the day, a gemal never showed up. It was termites that ate up the cover, and now a shor fell in. But I was not pshia like Abishua. I was
in
innocent.
In the second case, it's for
Chayr shor. Wait. Hold on. I get adding it to the second case. Yeah. Okay. This is the raivis pshia. Okay. So the gemalik pshat. This pshat already we can understand. You don't have to make new cases up. You don't have to add new facts up. You don't have to create new barometers, new ways of measuring. Oynes. Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. I can hear this. Because the emesis, chilas v'shiv to be on its chayv in the first place, was such a pellet to me. I didn't really understand where it's coming from. So I told you, shtikl tov, I called it relationship. And now I told you the way to step the relationship. It's a different chavsa. So what does the pshi of X have to do with the oynes of Y? So this teretz taka makes a lot of sense for us. We can really wrap our hands around this terrace. Of course, this terrace is going to be very, very difficult to defend. Why? Anyone know why? Because the Gemara gave two examples on Daf Nun Beis. One was the Shaila about the Shliya B'Teichai, but the Gemara compared that to another case. What was the case the Gemara compared it to? What was the other case the Gemara compared it to?
Sure,
that what? So the Gemara compared actually to two cases. The Gemara said that when I dig a pit and I just leave the pit uncovered, that's a pshia legabe what? What different things is it a potential pshia for? It's a pshia for a shor shait v'katon. And then what happens in the end? A shor pikeach falls in, right? So the Gemara says, no, you're not chayev. So that I got. That fits in really neatly, very nicely into the model of the Ravid, because this is chepte echepte b. One's a shor chayev shait v'katon, one's a normal shor. So just because you're pshia for A doesn't mean you're pshia for B. So that I got. But now it starts to get very, very difficult. Why? Because the Gemara gave another example. What was the other case? What's the pshia? Yeah. Even on the shore, pikech, there's a shtichel pshia. What's the pshia? If it fell in balayla, that would constitute a pshia. And lo and behold, this fell in bayom. And the Gemara says, aha, potur. Same chavtah. This is not camels to oxen anymore. This is not even baby shvarm to big shvarm anymore. This is the same shore, bayom balayla. It's the same cheft of the shore. So the Balamor already had quoted this pshat and rejected it on this grounds. Other Rishayim quote this pshat, and to me, a gadola, it's a wonder, it's a pella, how to defend this pshat. How come the Raiva present such a pshat to us? It explains beautifully the case of the termites, beautifully the case of the Shurachay Shevakotan, but it seems to fail us in one of the three cases that appears in the Gemara itself. No? So what's the answer? So the Rishonim write that we've heard from the Tamidim of the Rav Avdeis, and they themselves quoted from the Rebbe the answer. What's the answer? This is so lumdish. What's the answer? Yom Balayla difference. A different Chefza. Yom Balayla is so radically different. What happens in the night doesn't affect the day. What happens in the day doesn't affect the night. We live in different worlds, multiple worlds. There's daylight hours and there's nighttime hours. Animals fall in the daytime, animals fall in the day. It's the same four-legged shore. If he didn't, it's a different shore. Again, the Hele Gehele, where Rav Avdeis didn't, far be it from me to argue, but you could understand why the Rishonim had trouble with his pshat. The Baal HaMor rejected his pshat, the Ramban rejected his pshat, the other Rashba rejected his pshat. They all rejected his pshat for the same reason that, how are we going to explain this Nakuda? Such a difficult pshat. The Rav Avdeis knew this. He himself said it. The Rashba quotes. The Rashba himself quotes this somewhere. The Ramban quotes it. Somebody quotes it. What? Baal HaMor quotes it. Baal HaMor says that, V'shemati v'pi tamidov. Laila v'yom nami k'shnei minin shebet ezikin damu. V'lo aminim b'yud ha'pshus lahai v'ushus lahai. Ki heichin lo aminim b'cherish l'pikech. So you know what the Balboa says about this? V'zeh ha'teretz ma'oid ma'oid dochuk. It's not just dochuk. It's not just ma'od dochuk. It's ma'od ma'od dochuk. They say that Shlomo Haim was a Rashiv, and first he was Rabbi Chanan and Baranovich, and then he came to America before the war, and he was one of the Rashivs in Tavadah. So he used to say in Rabbi Kiveger, So you have to be medayik in Rav Chveger's kasha. Sometimes Rav Chveger asks for tachiyah, and sometimes tachiyah and gadol, sometimes v'tema, sometimes Hashem yor einai, sometimes, you know, lo zachis v'lohav. Different l'shayinus. So Rav Chveger wasn't just like he was in a mood at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so he wrote tachiyah. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, he was tired, so he just wrote, you know, tema. There are reasons why Rav Chveger, the degree, the severity of the kasha, warranted a different type of a response. So you can't look at everything kasha Rav Chveger in the same way. So the Balamor, the Hilik Balamor, is rejecting this chapter of Avazin and saying it's very, 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 like a little kid, very, very, and then very, very dochuk. So it's not a very dochuk. It's a hard shot. But at least we see what the rabbi is trying to do. What the rabbi is trying to do is address the issue of yachas bein hapshia. Well, which sets the stage for the seventh shot, which is the final really working shot for us in the sugya. And that is also ke'en the ravid, in the sense of the similarity is that it's addressing the relationship, addressing the yachatz, but in a radically different way. And ultimately this is the answer that the Ramban himself proposes. The Ramban did not make up this mahalach. It appears already in the Tosfos. In a few places in Shas, Tosfos references this. But the Ramban and the Muchamas presents it and elaborates upon it, and tells us ultimately this is the real Emes Lamita, what the Ramban at least felt was the Emes Lamita answer to how Daf Mem Beis parts ways with the regular rules of Chos V'Shiv Sefer. Comes the Ramban, and again was already predated by Balei Tosfos, and develops the following Yisoy. When you look at Chilas B'Shia, V'Sofa B'Yonis, let's go back to the Trefet Orbiter. It is true that what ultimately happened was, in a certain sense, beyond my expectation. I don't know whether it meets the Me'iris or beyond expectation, but it's beyond my expectation. A Geneva in the middle of the forest, very, very unlikely. And on its own merits, would have been possible. But Lema'is Yupasheya. So the guys, the Mafkitsu, Yupasheya. So what's the Shomer's response? So what? But Yupasheya. And he screams up, so what? So now the Mafkid is at the next line. What's the Mafkid's next line? When he's saying, so what? If the Mafkid was smart, when he would turn around to Shomer, he would say, true. You are correct that at the end of the day, what happened was an ones, but there was a direct relationship between the Pshia and the ones in the following sense. If you wouldn't have been Pshia, what would not have happened? And the Oynis wouldn't have happened. Now you're right, in a vacuum, you're not a Pesheya on the Oynis. What happened was not an act of Shia, because stolen goods from a forest, from a trade for the urbani, is an Oynis Shein Kamayu. But your Pshia set the stage for an Oynis to happen. And if you wouldn't have been Pesheya, if you would have locked it up in a safe in the bank or something, then guess what? Then the Oynis wouldn't have happened. Now, I'm not blaming you for the Geneva. I know that the Geneva was not Olah Adas. So, Vlanah Vassas Adova, you really Oynes Chumana Prata, you really should have been Potter. But since you're Pesheya, and your Pesheya did impact on the existence of the Oynes, that's a whole different ballgame. So, Shekofat. What was the Pshia? What was the Pshia? I left what? I left my dog, Shvatir, around on the roof. Not a very smart place to leave it. Now, at the end of the day, it didn't jump. At the end of the day, it was a crazy machine that no one could have ever guessed. It fell, tripped. Very unlikely. One in 1,000 dogs trips off the top of the roof. I would not have had to be Adas. But Tachlis, if you wouldn't have had the dog on the roof, then the Oynes wouldn't have happened. That's Chilash Mashiach with the Oynes. What about Behemah Sheitila? What? If you wouldn't have taken the animal walking, they wouldn't let the animal walk there, then what? Then nothing would happen. Now let's get careful about this. Right? Over here, at least the case of the Gemalim and the Shvarim. Okay? I was Pesheya Lagabe Gemalim, right? What would have not been a pshia? If I would have made it unbelievable, what? Huh? Kisa, that really would have met the test of the camels also, then gewaldik. And guess what? You know what would have happened? The termites would have still eaten. It would have taken them another 10 minutes, would have eaten through the kisa of the camels also. So the oynes would have happened whether I did a pshia or didn't do pshia. So the oynes is not any relate, not related to the chlau, to the pshia. No. So again, so it's only because I put it in this place that it got stolen from this place. Who says it would have been bankrupt or somewhere else? I have no idea if it would have been bankrupt or somewhere else. But over here, no matter what I would have done to this boar, even if I would have gotten a stamp of approval, Beis would have signed over and says, you're a gewaldik Hashem, you did the best thing possible, it still would have been destroyed by termites.
How does it apply to the Yoman Lila?
To the Yoman Lila case. So they have to think about this, about the Yoman Lila. So in the case of the Yom Halila, the tricky, the Yom Halila. Let's forget the Yom Halila. Let's go to the Shor Pekech first. Let's think of the Shor Pekech and the Shor Cherish. So I was Pesheya that I what? I was Pesheya that I dug a hole, and I dug a hole in a way that an animal could fall in the nighttime, right? Well, they dug a hole in a way that is sure that it's a that a chayushet v'katan would fall in. So as pesheya legabe that. So you want a taina on the Ramban? It's an identical problem, because if you wouldn't have dug the hole in the first place, so then the. But I don't think that the digging of the hole is the pshia. I think that the digging the hole and leaving the hole in a way that a shore balayla could fall in. I think that's the problem. So in theory, even if I would have sat there the whole night, I would have been watching the whole night, and then I would have left. What would happen in the yom? The animal still would have fallen in. It's tricky. It's much trickier. It's much, much less clear. But Akopan, this is the Ramban's theory, that it all boils down to Yachas and Pshia La'ines. That's all the result is Ba Ha'ines, in a sense, Machmas, not literally Machmas, but Machmas Pshia. So the question is this Mahalach correct or not? So you have to test it. You have to look throughout Shas for other cases of Tchlasu Shia. So we went through three, and the Ramban seemed to fit these three. But we did not exhaust the list yet. So hopefully, Beit Hashem, we have another sugya to learn. That's the sugya in Bavitir Daf Lamed Vav. That Ramban makes a big mention of. That comes a major. Think I put that in my comments?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to learn that to Gemara carefully. Then there's another sugya in the end of the seventh parak above Metzia. Also, those are two Shomrim sugya. So we're going to leave Maatik for a minute. We started with Shomrim, went to Maatik, and back to Shomrim. Hopefully, we'll learn those two sugyas Lamed Vav inside Gim, whatever it is, and then get a little bit of a clearer picture, and then to appreciate the Ramban and appreciate perhaps those who disagree with the Ramban, then try to put the final touches on the sugya. Okay, I'll mention, come on. Just,